What's your take on the side effects and toxicity profile of the two TKIs?
Well, my sense is that with sunitinib, there's a much more dramatic hypertension, and it comes on rather quickly. I've had cytopenias so that the 4-week on, 2-week off cycle is necessary in a lot of people. With sorafenib, the hand-foot syndrome is really annoying to people, as well as the rash, and we're learning to be dermatologists by providing creams and cocktails and things for them. There's no free lunch. These are, you know, but they're manageable. They're certainly much more manageable than interferon.
So overall quality of life in terms of one drug versus the other, you're saying they're about equal or one easier than the other?
You know, it's each person is so different. I think they're probably about the same.
Dr. Bukowski, how would you answer that question?
Yeah, I don't think they're the same. I think that the toxicities of sunitinib really are much more difficult at times to manage. I mean, there are toxicities that we're still learning about that we don't truly understand their causes, such as hypothyroidism that occurs in a substantial number of patients taking this drug. So I think the long-term toxicity of sunitinib is yet to be determined. I certainly can't disagree that continued observation of this fellow would be another option, but I think given the fact he recurred so rapidly, I would offer him therapy. And do we mention IL-2 to all of our patients? We do, and when they want it, then we send them to you. But I try to talk them out of it if I can.
Just to pick up briefly on the hypothyroidism, how often does it occur? Is it clinically relevant?
Now, the data that we have was in a group of patients on various clinical trials with sunitinib. The frequency we found was about 20% of patients have clinically important hypothyroidism as evidenced by increases in their TSH and decreases in their T4 levels requiring thyroid replacement. About half of that group improve the fatigue that's associated with sunitinib when you replace thyroid. So I've told people who ask me, I don't know that you will screen necessarily for thyroid abnormalities, but certainly when patients begin to develop these symptoms of fatigue, and that occurs in the vast majority of people who take this drug, you start to wonder whether hypothyroidism can be playing a role, and you should look at it at that point.
20% is not an insignificant number. When do you generally see it?
The frequency is somewhere around the 8th to the 12th week is when you start to see these abnormalities come in. And some of them will develop slowly. And the question we've asked ourselves is when the patient stops sunitinib, because they all stop it at some point, will these revert? Will their hypothyroidism disappear? I don't know the answer to that at this point. I think that's an interesting question. And what's even more interesting is why they develop the hypothyroidism. Is it a vascular effect in the thyroid? Is it another kinase on thyroid cells themselves that's affected here that produces this? These are unanswered questions.
Well, the interesting component is that both of those drugs have an anti-tumor effect on papillary thyroid cancer.
And CRET is the oncogene for thyroid cancer, and it is a tyrosine kinase. So you wonder whether is effect. In fact, I know sorafenib folks are looking at sorafenib as a therapy for metastatic thyroid cancer. It does call, in my mind, into question this whole issue of excluding papillary, because papillary thyroid seems to have, there may be a role for sorafenib and probably Sutent in papillary. Why are we worrying so much about papillary renal cell? It sort of begs the question. Like Jan said, we may be splitting too much.